By 2:40, troopers in the barracks could hear the humming clearly. Not that there were many in there. Most were lined up at the windows in Shed B's 2 roll-up doors, hip to hip and shoulder to shoulder. Tony saw this, debated whether or not to order them away, and finally decided to let them stay where they were. With one exception. Arky?
Yes, sir, Sarge.
I want you to go out front and mow the lawn.
I just mow it on Monday.
I know. Seemed like you spent the last hour doing the part under my office window. I want you to do it again just the same, with this in your back pocket. He handed Arky a walkie-talkie. And if anyone comes calling who shouldn't see 10 Pennsylvania State Troopers lined up in front of that shed like there was a big-money cockfight going on inside, shoot me the word. Got it?
Yeah, you betcha.
Good. Matt.
Matt Babicki, front and center.
Matt rushed up, puffing and red-faced with excitement. Tony asked him where Kurt was. Matt said he was on patrol. Tell him to return to base, code D, and ride quiet. Got that?
Code D and ride quiet. Roger.
To ride quiet is to travel sans flashers and siren. Kurt presumably obeyed this injunction, but he was still back at the barracks by 2:45. No one dared ask him how far he'd come in half an hour. However many miles it might have been, he arrived alive and before the silent fireworks started up again. The first thing he did was to remove the video cam from the tripod. Until the fireworks were over, the visual record would be Curtis Wilcox's baby. The tape, one of many squirreled away in the storage closet, preserves what there was to see and hear. The Buick's hum is very audible, sounding like a loose wire in a stereo speaker, and it gets appreciably louder as time passes. Kurt got footage of the big thermometer with its red needle standing just a hair past 54. There's Kurt's voice, asking permission to go in and check on Jimmy and Rosalind, and Sergeant Chaindig's voice coming back with, "Permission denied," almost at once, brisk and sure, brooking no argument. At 3:08:41, according to the time code on the bottom of the screen, a blush like a violet sunrise begins to rise on the Buick's windshield. At first, a viewer might pass this phenomenon off as a technical glitch, or an optical illusion, or perhaps some sort of reflection. Andy Colucci.
What's that?
Unknown speaker.
A power surge or a...
Curtis Wilcox. Those of you with goggles, better put them on. Those of you without them, this is risky. I'd back the hell off. We have...
Jackie O'Hara, probably.
Who took...
Phil Candleton, probably. My God!
Huddy Royer.
I don't think we should...
Sergeant Commanding Chaindig, sounding as calm as an Audubon guide on a nature hike.
Get those goggles down, fellas. I would. Chop, chop.
At 3:09:24, that violet light took an auroral leap in all the Buick's windows, turning them into brilliant, purple mirrors. If one slows the tape down and then advances it frame by frame, one can see actual reflections appearing in the formerly clear window glass. The tools hung on their pegs, the orange plow blade stored against one wall, the men outside, peering in. Most are wearing goggles and look like aliens in a cheap science fiction movie.